Welcome to Daily Today here on Nigeria Info 99.3. We're live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, so you can get to watch us live and drop your comment as we go along on the show this morning. Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper. Page 11 of the Vanguard has a story here that says Muhammad died from COVID-19 complications. Fawaimi family.
Well, I give the Fawaimi family a lot of credit. And there are some families that we know from the activities of their patriarchs and matriarchs that they stand for the truth, just like the Ransom Kuti family too did, or let's say the Anikulapo family too did when Fela died of AIDS way back. So the family has come out to say that Mohammed Fawaimi died of AIDS. There are loads of other people that have died under circumstances that, you know, would be judging and so on and so forth. But now you know for sure that he died of AIDS. Now, remember, we just had Ibrahim Mantu a few days ago, yeah. And now this. There are loads of other people that are dying. They'll say, oh, they had heart failures and this and that. Remember that, in truth, you do not, quote and unquote, die of COVID. What COVID does, to the best of my knowledge, is to trigger underlying whatever.
That's right.
Yes, so let's get that one. It says here that... Saeed Fawaimi, okay, I think it must be one of his brothers.
Yes, younger brother.
Yes, said the family could not immediately disclose the cause of Mohammed's death because they wanted the information to be based on factual medical details, especially as it may be contained in the death certificate. Now, This is what Gani Fawaimi had always been known for, and I'm glad the tradition continues. Other family members present at the briefing, Mubarak Fawaimi, Mrs. Basira Fawaimi Biobaku, I think his other children, and Lanre Arugundade and Richard Akinola. Now listen to this paragraph. It touched me to the point of tears, and I want you to listen good. Saeed Fawaimi, however, said that if his brother had taken the vaccine, it would have saved his life. If his brother had taken the vaccine, it would have saved his life. Let me read what he's quoted to have said. He said, the family could not immediately disclose the cause of our brother's death because we wanted the information to be based on factual medical deaths, especially as we've contained in the death certificate. However, we are in a position to inform you that our dear brother died from COVID-19 related complications. If my brother had taken the vaccine, probably it would have saved his life. Mistakes have been made, and we want to make sure others don't make that mistake. So I implore all Nigerians to please get vaccinated. And he also urged government to step up the enlightenment about it and so on and so forth.
Right.
A word is enough for the wise. Burial date, August 27th.
It's quite sad, really.
Very, very sad.
And there have been many people like that, really.
Yes.
Please, if you can, get vaccinated today, like right now. Get vaccinated. We know that the vaccines are not enough, but if you can get to where they're being administered, please go and make sure you get vaccinated.
And please don't be apprehensive about how you might get the second one.
Yeah.
Get the first one first, okay? Get the first one and you know, God willing, you'll be able to get the second, but get the first one out of the way to get at least, you know, the smallest of protection.
Right, We're going to move on to page 5 of the Vanguard. Aftermath of meeting with security chiefs. Shape up. I'm not leaving office a failure. Buhari.
This is in all the papers, and it's all couched in this sentence, I am not leaving office a failure. In one of the other papers, it says, oh, the president will not leave office a failure.
Okay.
Which means that there is a fear that he might leave office a failure.
Mm.
And it says here, the writers, let me just read to you very quickly. He threatens to rejig security heads if necessary. The implication of this is that he's probably not too happy with what he has on ground. And he announces plans for repentant terrorists, battling insecurity, so many other things. Now, two things there. To reject security heads. I believe that security is not just about bows and arrows, guns and bullets. I still would like to plead with the president to make his security unit appear all-encompassing. He's been accused of the security being skewed in one particular area. What that does is it discourages other people. Both all of us are concerned with security anyway, but it discourages other people. And that seems to be one of the main problems that this government doesn't want to face. Now, supporters of the government will come out and say some person somewhere is of Eastern origin, some person somewhere. No. The main security personnel in our faces are all from the north. The ones that we see that we relate to are all from the north. And that in itself is a shot in the leg. It's a shot in the leg. Security also means carrying other people along. It's not just about providing Tucano jets and tanks and this and that, but all encompassing. And I think until we have that, we'll be winking in the dark. We'll be doing virtually nothing productive in that area. So that's my advice on that. Now, there are also plans for repentant terrorists. Look, listen, in war, one of the low-hanging fruits in war, for you to win a war, is to grab as many prisoners as possible to demoralize the people on the other side. But in this case, it also provides a dilemma and would demand a balance. Because some of these people that are surrendering and so forth, what do you really do with them? Remember, this is not a trade war between Nigeria and Cameroon. You understand? And these people, quote and unquote, it appears, are fundamentalists. The questions we'll be asking ourselves, are they truly repentant? Could this be another ploy to infiltrate us? So it's a bit dicey. But I don't want people to condemn the idea totally. You have to draw a bit of a balance. Because, look, if you have your opponent surrendering, it makes life easier for you. But again, in this case, we've got to be very, 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 very careful.
I still don't know. I don't have a perfect answer as to how to treat the surrendered terrorists.
It's dicey. Very, very dicey, Sheriff. Very, very dicey. But the reasons why prisoners of war are treated well, they are well fed, they're this and that, is to demoralize those on the other side and encourage them to lay down their arms. But in this case, because you can't take away the fundamental nature of us, it is very, very dicey. And I hope that the security agencies will take note, of these nuances that we have in this particular instance.
Indeed.
But like you said, I don't think I do have it.
It's quite dicey, like you said.
But I don't think those who criticize outrightly, I'm sorry to say, they don't have, they haven't looked at it from a well-rounded, and of course the political side also, that okay, if you do this for this, why don't you do that for IPOB and so on and so forth. I want to leave myself out of that political argument for now. I want to look at the security implications as it affects us.
Right, indeed. Page 12 of the Vanguard. Outrage over planned turbanning of Shua Arabs Sultan in Edo. Outrage over planned turbanning of Shua Arabs Sultan in Edo. This one is on page 12 of the Vanguard.
I'm sorry, I was almost going to say madness, but I don't think let me use a better word. But I don't know where this thing has suddenly surfaced from, where a group of people, living in other parts of the country, now suddenly want to have their own king. Everybody wants to be a king in Nigeria. Everybody wants to be relevant. What do you have here? In Edo State, the Shua Arabs, they want to have their own sultan. I mean, it's offensive to the people on the ground. Don't let's beat about the bush about it. Once you are in a particular neighborhood, or you submit yourself to the authority in that neighborhood. You don't start creating pockets of, and I think this should be nipped in the bud. We have such things even in Lagos here, which for political reasons, our political leaders encouraged without thinking of the overall implications of these things. It's an inch-by-inch movement eroding authority on ground. But I know the Oba of Benin will stand for it. The government, the Edo State government, have said they won't stand for it. And Benin is a place that I know fairly well. I know, but we need to, whether we're going to put laws in place or we're going to have some agreement, we can't keep having pockets of, and then people, we can't continue to have self-appointed leaders. You get an appointment for maybe for a particular area, and suddenly you turn yourself into king over everybody. This new trend, a bit of, I don't want to call this new madness. I'd rather not use that kind of word. But this new trend that we have, it needs to be nipped in the bud, because at the end of the day, it's going to cause confusion.
There are some arguments I'm seeing on YouTube here. Babalola Fashola says, in Lagos, we have Ezendibo. Adelowo Yediro on YouTube says, the chiefs are not all from the north.
Nobody said that. What we said is that, look, I don't even believe in this Ezendibo, Serikin, Hausa, and all. I don't believe in these things. Once you are in an area, submit yourself to the authority of that area. Why would you want to do that? But then again, it's important to know that some of these people, in reality, are just heads of their groups. You know, there's nothing wrong with people getting together. You have the president of the Igbo Association or this and that. But when they begin to begin to veer into traditional issues and want to be equated with traditional, the implication is far-reaching. It's far-reaching. And I think we also have that problem now in Yoruba land. You have the Oba of Hungary. You have the Oba of Frankfurt. You have all these things. What Yorubas will call rondon. but they start at nuisance level, but could grow up to become a political problem. And I think we need to nip. Why don't we all just strive for a better society? All this looking for power, looking for titles.
I think it's all political. They're trying to protect the interests of their own people.
It would appear so, but it could also be territorial.
It could?
It could also be territorial. It starts inch by inch, step by step, and before you know it, is blown up in your face. I know the Oba of Benin won't stand for this.
Oyewole Fatunla on Facebook says the Oba of Benin has to issue a statement on the matter, and that will settle it.
The state government has.
Yes, the state government has. They have utterly condemned that move. And the Shua Arabs are from Borno, by the way. They're from Borno. Let's go to Vanguard page 13. EFCC quizzes ex-Abia governor, son over 48 billion naira security vote.
I've spent a bit of time to study what you have in other countries that practice democracy the way we do. But I still haven't, even I had Mr. Fola Athawori as my guest some years back. He tried to explain to me what it was, all this security vote was all about, but I still don't understand. What I have here is going to shock you. Now, the governor, the former governor and his son are being quizzed over 48 billion.
That's right.
Security vote.
Yeah.
Now, remember that the state doesn't buy arms. They don't buy tanks. They don't buy Tucano jets. They don't buy frigates. They don't buy submarines. So security vote really means money spent, in an underhanded manner, really. Now, listen to this. It says the ex-governor is alleged to have collected. Are you with me? To have collected. Where are you, Sheriff? Is your mind?
I'm with you.
Yeah, so hold on to your chair. To have collected 500 million naira monthly as security vote.
Is he the only one?
For...
Just go on, go on.
Naja, don't come now.
I'm just asking. But that is the question Nigerians ask. We've been talking about security vote for. Hold on, Jimmy. We've been talking about security vote for like ever.
If he's not the only one, he shouldn't be.
He should be. Please go on ahead. How many of those governors have been quizzed over security votes?
No, you got.
Who questions them?
It is a non accounting amount. Non-accounting.
But they have to be accountable.
Okay, wait. He has been collecting. It is alleged. It's alleged that he has been collecting 500 million monthly as security vote for 8 years. I mean, who does that?
I think he collected it while in government.
Yes, but who? That's
what they do.
I understand, but I mean, what kind of a country are we running? And then at the end of the day, you say there's paucity of funds to do things. You go borrowing again for the next. I don't understand. I don't understand.
These same governors cannot pay their workers. They cannot fund their health. They cannot pay their pensioners.
But they can get their security vote.
Oh, yes. Nothing can touch that one.
But Sheriff, listen. How does a man sit down and at every 30 days? And does he get it in cash? Or in allocation?
I don't know. I really don't know.
A lot of it, I can assure you that a lot of it is in cash.
They will argue that that is what they used to fund the security apparatus in their respective states. They buy vans, equipment, utilities for the police and paramilitary in their states.
Let me be honest with you, and I'm not cracking up now.
Okay.
The mental image I have of a security vote in the hands of these governors is cash put aside. Given to various interests, and it's cash put aside. You know, if there's something somewhere, you need money to quell it.
Yeah.
I don't think. Look, in Lagos, for example, you have the Security Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. That is different from security vote.
Yes, very different. Very different.
So the question to ask in Lagos, for example, is, does the governor get a security vote every month? How much is it? What does he use it for? It would be nice. This is a nice question. Polite, nice question we'd like to put to the government today. That, okay, in our own state, one, does the governor get security vote? If he does, what does he use it for? How does he utilize it? Because you already have the Security Trust Fund.
According to Wikipedia, sorry to drag you here.
Yes.
Security vote in Nigeria is a monthly allowance that is allocated to the 36 states within the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
Yes.
For the sole purpose of funding security services within such states.
Yes.
The monthly fund runs into billions of naira and vary based on the level of security required by the individual state.
So this level was the same for eight years.
Mm.
You go down.
500.
500. You
My
know.
Goodness me.
And then the money dispensed in cash or in a separate account? Who are the signatories to the, you know? These are, because to be, if you go near the corridor of power, you see a lot of
and it's unaccounted
cash on a daily basis. On a daily basis, Chief Kineko is just here.
Raw cash.
F1500. Yes. Yeah, raw cash moves.
Like,
yes.
They just carry it. See. It's there.
It's there. You know, one of the ways by which you can, if you have a friend who's a governor or whatever, let's say Mumbu Akin, I want to go to church with you on Sunday. When they're going to walk on me, they give you something. We are living a lie.
Guess what? According to Transparency International, we spend about $670 million annually on security votes. That's about $241.2 billion.
Is that federal plus state or state only?
Security vote. States.
States?
Yeah, 36 states, yes.
Now, unless we begin to ask ourselves, how are parties funded? Party activities, how are they funded?
Mm.
You don't find, in the days of the action group in the past, the days of Aminu Kanu's PRP, when you go for meetings every week or whatever it is, you make a small donation. That's what the party uses, and so on and so forth. But in the KDLA kind of thing, you know, everybody allotting KDLA, some of the money, government money, would hit the ground and so on.
Yeah.
Now it is the reverse. Mm. If you go for meetings, your going and coming is funded, your feeding is funded, the one you use to settle your wife at home so that she won't make noise when you're coming is funded. And money keeps going out. One of the fears that we have, that, for example, if you have an influential politician in certain states going for high office, one of the fears of his state of origin is that we hope that part of the funds, you know, is not being overrun to keep his own ambition going. To speak in parables and speak.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I know. Maybe it would have been better if I speak in tongues. I'm not speaking in parables.
It can be difficult, really.
It can be very difficult.
Can be difficult. Let's go to Punch, page 8 of Punch. I mean, on the security votes, you people can continue with the conversation.
Sorry, one question. I challenge all the journalists in Lagos.
Mm.
Next time you corner the governor, can you please ask him this question? Sir, what is your security vote? How is it spent? Is it given to you in cash? Let us get it so that this cloud over security vote is cleared completely.
Right.
Yes, I think any of our colleagues who has the opportunity to be with the governor should do that.
Page 8 of the Punch, Oluwafori designates, celebrates kingship with posh cars.
That this story is in the papers is first of all nauseating, but is a reflection of where Nigeria is going. And I feel so sorry for my people. You know, the other day I was complaining about our traditional rulers, some of them, who by their behavior are distancing themselves more from the people than getting closer to them. Now, being a traditional ruler provides an avenue for show-off, you know, to show off your wealth, show off your well-being in the midst of poverty. Now, have this story found its way into a Nigerian newspaper with glee? This is in the Punch. With glee, so you know the new culture that we have. This is a story in the Punch. It's on page 8 of the Punch. It says, Oluwafori designate celebrates kingship with posh cars. Ahead of the coronation of Olu designate Omoba Sola Emiko as the 21st Oluwafori, former Sekiri Crown Prince, has bought two brand new customized cars, a Rolls Royce and a Bentley 2021 model, for Saturday's event. The Punch gathered that the customized Rolls Royce will be used to usher in the new king on the day of his coronation, while the Bentley will be used for the Thanksgiving service on Sunday. Palace sources hinted that the Olu designate will drive from his execution in Danike to Wari Club in the Rolls Royce on the day of his coronation, and so on and so forth. I must say, I mean, nothing to do, you know, Shekri or whatnot, but this story sickens me to the marrow, because I wonder what point it is meant to. I wonder what point is being made here. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why can't we be humble and sober for once? I mean, I don't understand it. If I were in a position to advise the Lord, I'd say, oh, in the spirit that my people are hungry, things are so bad, and so on and so forth. I don't, even if it was given to him, I said, look, I don't think I need something like this. Let's convert the money from this and use it for schools. I have a car that I've driven before. A car that I'm driving is not going to make me less an Olu. And can use the opportunity to get closer to your people. But it's the in thing now. If you look at our traditional rulers across the board, a lot of them. And what they think they're doing, because sycophants keep hailing them on. But what they don't realize that is that you're distancing yourself from people. And one day, it will manifest and it will not be. But I wish the new Olu of Wari designate, you know, I wish him all the best in his tenure.
Yeah.
If he can still stop this, I'd be more than glad. If he can. They say a tiger does not express its tigritude. Okay? You don't need a tiger to make noise before you know it's a tiger. In fact, Sonny Ade even had it in a song.
Yeah.
That Tobachi or do something in Kolo Kolo. I think Kolo Kolo is fox. If a fox has been dead for so many years, the hen will still not go near it. It's not going to make you less a traditional ruler if you came in a nice Japanese car and humbled yourself amongst your people. But then again, the social media is going to go agog with the younger people, who will see it as one of the best things that ever happened. All kinds of excuses will crop up. And it was a donation. These things are the symbolism.
Yeah.
This new Nigeria that we have, I was just telling Ron Ngbatogo and Yori Folani yesterday, I don't understand the new Nigeria anymore. It's all about exhibiting wealth.
Yep. Now to the page 6 of the Punch. 756, can we take a story? I think we can squeeze it in. Exercise patience, understanding Lagos Tales road users. Exercise patience, understanding Lagos Tales road users.
Yes, we also want the Lagos government to exercise patience and also understanding, to know that this massive construction around the whole state simultaneously is creating very big problems for the users. We'll say this for the umpteenth time, and we'll plead with them to, you know, with both they and the federal government, should have a construction timetable that makes life a bit more bearable. We know that development must go on. but it must go on in a seamless manner, not to inconvenience people to the point that when the benefits of the new development now arise, there'll be nowhere to be found. They would have gone comatose. End of story.
Yes, we must go now. So today is the anniversary day, and I'm glad to announce that I have my own power bank. At the hand, come for our wow.
No, not for our wow, for you. No. I had. Let me tell you. I don't want him to think that I kept no. This gentleman here, you know, I've related to him in the course of our programs, and yeah. I'm so proud of him. Aww. You know, because he's been a very good helping hand on all fronts, minus financially. Come for me, low. So I wanted him to be the first recipient. Yeah. The rest, of course, will go to the listeners at 9 o'clock.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Uncle Jimmy, for this. Appreciate it.
It's not a phone.
If you can see, it's a power bank.
It's a power bank, not a phone.
Very portable. Sorry, now I forgot. Can you see the shape? It's not those giant big power bank.
No, this power bank, you just put your phone on top of it.
It's customized.
MTN, where is this man? Where is the photographer bank. Now? And I'm joking.
We have to go now. We have to go.
We'll see you at 9.
For 9 more giveaways coming on the first anniversary of Daily Digest with Jimmy Lee. So I'm Sheriff Quatri. Let's bring you the news.
You don't wait, so they. And now, they don't break the padlock, come out. Open big gate.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.